You do it, the Russian Limmer, Nikita Korov, and you are listening to Ringside Rant.
Hey, this is Darren from the band These Wolves, and you're listening to the Ringside Rant with RJ.
This is Chris McClain from the Turnip Hair Baseball Podcast, and you're listening to Ringside Rant.
Welcome back to the Ringside Rant, and welcome to Ranters Nation. I have the honor of sitting down with a guy, a fellow podcaster, a guy that, is my go-to for baseball. He has the baseball podcast known as Turnip Hair Podcast. He is Chris McClain. Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm pretty excited to be on the other side of the whole podcast thing as far as being a guest. Yeah. So thanks for reaching out and having me on. I'm pretty excited to do this.
No, it's any time, man. You know, it's a long time coming. It's been a fan of the show, and it's always nice to kind of sit back and relax and listen to baseball when it's 25 degrees outside and snowing and icing and all that stuff. And I'm sure you can relate to that being out there in Milwaukee area, right?
I hear you, man. We've got there's snow on the ground. It's probably right now, it's probably about 25 degrees outside. So yeah, you know you're stuck inside and you can't do a whole lot. But yeah, so and likewise, man, I want to throw it back to you. I enjoy listening to your podcast. I'm a wrestling fan myself, but it's nice to follow your show, and I get some of the more non-mainstream guys that I can learn about and learn about their backstory and start to follow them and be more into the indie scene. So I'm digging on it. So you're doing a great job.
Appreciate it. Yeah. It's one of those things. It's like, it's nice to, sit down and, before we started recording and just like we talked about, I sat down with Thunder Rosa last night from the NWA and, it's so, I'm like, you see a lot of these people that, a lot of people don't know who she is. And it's like, oh man, I learned so much about this guy or that guy by listening to your show. I'm like, oh, well that's, we're doing this for, our for the heck of it. And, we're not getting, any pay if minimal, but like that pays for itself. But
yeah,
it's one of those things. It's this time of the year being, end of January, beginning of February, we still got another 2-3 weeks until pitchers catchers report to spring training. And it's just nice to sit back. You watch, tomorrow we got the Super Bowl. And then after that, it's basically smooth sailings right to, I believe they're starting the seasons in March this year, right?
Yeah, we're starting early this year. It's late March. I don't know the exact date, but yeah, it's a little bit earlier than normal. Normally, it's that first, couple days in February. Every once in a while, we dip into like March 31st. But I feel like this year we're starting even earlier. And it's not that, kind of random 2 or 3 game series where they'll play it in Japan or something, where they'll start in, maybe the last week or two of March, and then they're off for another 5 days and come back. It's legitimately starting at the end of March, and man, you nailed it. Pitchers and catchers are reporting in a couple weeks, and it's funny. You get really excited about them reporting, and you're like, yes, baseball's here, and then it's like 2 weeks of really nothing. It's just watching guys play catch and hitting batting practice on social media. And then you get all excited for it, and then you're like, oh, they don't start for like another month and a half for real, and then you get excited for that first spring training game for your team that you get to watch. It comes on TV, and you're like, oh, it's just practice baseball, and half these guys I don't even know who they are. So yeah, I mean, it's exciting, but at the same time, it's like it's not real until March. But that's so close. We are so close to real baseball.
Well, and that's a fun thing. It's like it goes back to the old adage of with spring training baseball, it's like any baseball fan's always seen Major League, and it's the Bob Uecker line, oh, you're gonna see these guys bagging groceries in a couple weeks or whatever the case may be, and you get guys with the numbers like 75, and it's like Mike Smith from Paducah, Kentucky or something, and It's like, oh, well, he has a chance of making like single A.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man, I started the podcast about a year and a half ago. Yeah. And, you know, for the folks that don't know who I am, which is probably the majority of your audience, I interview mostly minor league players. Occasionally I get a major league player to come on the show, but majority of the guys I get on are minor league players working their way up. And so, you know, last year during spring training, I was still relatively new. I had probably done, 15 or so podcasts, but now I've got 65, close to 70 podcasts under my belt. And these are all interviews of, like I said, majority of minor league guys. A lot of these guys now are on the precipice. They're right there with a legit shot to make the big league club. And so, a couple of guys I talked to, the show I'm going to come out with on Super Bowl Sunday is Errol Robinson. He's on the cusp with the Dodgers. Andrew Young is one of the top prospects in the Diamondbacks organization. He was in the Paul Goldschmidt trade. Mm-hmm. Another guy that that was out last week. But, guys like that are – I'm actually going to pay attention to their spring training and see how they perform, because those guys, like, it's cool, man. Once I interview these guys, I become a fan of them, and I follow them. And it's really cool when they make it to the big leagues. And, it's even cooler when they make it to the big leagues and then, they still interact with me. It's like, yeah, that's awesome. This guy, like, you build relationships with these guys over time. And to use a wrestling term, my goal in these shows is to get these guys over, even more so than they already are. What little bit I can, I want to do what I can to help them get over. So it's fun to then follow them afterwards.
Yeah. And I've been listening pretty much since day one. I can't remember how I got in touch with the show or yourself or what have you. It might have been our friend Graham Bagshaw through he does the wrestling podcast and the group text that we have between us, and pretty much basically it's an excuse for him to yell at me about how bad the Yankees suck and how good the Red Sox are. So in this time of year, I always give the old adage of I give him the joke every single year since I've known him for about a couple years, since we're on the same network together for the podcast. And I said, oh, I give him the same joke every year. What do Daisies and the Red Sox have in common? Oh, I don't know. Oh, they do really well in the spring, but come the fall, they're dead. And well, he never laughs.
Lately, though, the last 15 or 20 years, I'd have to give the nod to the Red Sox. They have definitely won their fair share of titles.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Oh yeah. Without a doubt. And even with my son, I'm sure you can relate too, where you kind of he inherits being a Yankee fan, and my wife just kind of goes along with it because she really has no other option. But but yeah, it's I always make sure my wife's well aware of, she's the one that, really got me into mainstream wrestling and, really made me fall in love again with baseball. She took me for my birthday. This is well before my son. So this is probably about 8-9 years ago. I think it was the year that the new Yankee Stadium opened up. And so that was what, 2009, I believe.
Yeah, I would say you probably know that more than me. It sounds about right. It's been open for about 10 or so years.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, she took me there for my birthday, and I'd had a $9 Miller Lite and sat in the nosebleeds, and I kid you not, June 1st is my birthday. We went down there that weekend, and it was like 50 degrees in June in the Bronx. And I'm like, holy crap. And we had to go because we didn't think it was going to be that cold. So we ended up going to the team store. And let me tell you, folks, if you ever go to a Major League Baseball stadium and you have to buy a sweatshirt, you may have to take out a small loan, because I think the sweatshirt we bought was like $50 and it shrunk first time in the wash, and I haven't worn it since. So, and yes, I'm probably grew a little bit in the stomach region too after that.
So too many hot dogs at the game, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Man, but that was, that was the bucket list kind of thing. Going to Yankee Stadium. I wish I would have had the opportunity to go to to the original Yankee Stadium, but unfortunately, that was a year. I was a year late, and but I compare that, and I'm sure you can relate going to a lot of these stadiums like you do every year. Is I compare Yankee Stadium to going to a stadium very close to you right now in South Bend, Indiana, the Notre Dame Stadium.
Oh yeah.
The football stadium. And it was just, you walk in, and my wife has experienced both with me. And it's just an awe. You know what I mean? Because you see it on TV all the time, and then you get the opportunity to go there, and it's like, you know, it's like the first time you heard the Beatles kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Notre Dame Stadium. So I grew up 45 minutes west of Notre Dame. Well, 45 minutes west of Notre Dame, South Bend, in a town called Valparaiso. Okay. And as a kid, I guess the last time I went to the Notre Dame as kind of the way I originally remember it as a kid, I was right out of college, I think, or maybe I was in college, I don't remember. And then I hadn't gone back to a game for a long time. I went to a game last season, and I honestly didn't even recognize the place. It's changed so much. It's still fantastic. You still have Touchdown Jesus. The environment inside there is unbelievable. I mean, it's a great place to watch football. But it's changed so much that I barely recognize the place. It's almost like Lambeau Field. Lambeau Field, the first time I went there, there were really just a couple press boxes. Now it's like luxury boxes and press boxes to go all the way around the entire stadium. It's like basically the old place was just built up, and now it looks like a brand new stadium, but it's, you know, 60, 70 years old. So it's crazy how they do it to these stadiums. Yankee Stadium, they obviously totally rebuilt it. But yeah, it's amazing. Wrigley Field's another one where they completely rebuilt the stadium, that it's a, you know, 100-year-old park or almost 100-year-old park, but essentially looks brand new. Because every offseason they spend millions of dollars completely rebuilding large sections of it, that now it's basically a brand new park. It's incredible how they do that. I don't know. Engineers and architects and, you know, construction folks are impressive with the work they do.
Yeah, it's it goes the same along the lines. You know, you're building a state or baseball stadium. I compare that to you know, people, you know, those golf course architects too that build these huge golf courses and everything. I'm like, you know, you have a vision and then it's like you just go. But yeah, unfortunately, I've been to, you know, Fenway, and as bad as it pains me to say that, but Fenway and Wrigley are really on my bucket list of stadiums I got to get to, you know, before I go. And it's just like, because I've been to, like I said, Yankee Stadium. I've been to PNC Park in Pittsburgh. I've been to not Synergy. That's the old stadium in Cincinnati. Can't think of the name now. But anyways, it's just you don't get those stadiums like Wrigley and Fenway anymore. You know, outside of like I'm thinking of the Baltimore.
Camden Yards.
There you go. Camden Yards and Yankee Stadium are my two favorite ballparks of all time, because Camden Yards was that stadium, that new look of, it's a kind of like a new look of the old look kind of thing. You know, it still was like up to date, but it still had that old feel, rustic feel with, you know, the warehouse out in right field. And it was just, it's hard to explain unless you've been to a stadium like that, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. All the new stadiums now have so much more character, and they have little nooks and crannies. And there was a period of time where everything was sort of cookie cutter. And there were just these giant concrete towers, you know? And the last stadium they built that was that kind of boring, drab, concrete block was the new Comiskey. And the next stadium they built was Camden Yards. And then after people thought Comiskey, the new Comiskey, was, oh, this is boring. There's nothing here. Now they've since completely, you know, redesigned the park, and it actually looks great. And by the way, shout out to the White Sox. They have some of the best, if not the best, food They're certainly top three in terms of food and the parks I've been to. But yeah, Camden Yards was built, and then everything after that, they build it, and you know, you get the, you know, the Oracles in San Francisco, you get Petco in San Diego, these beautiful parks with so much character that just fits perfectly into the fabric of the community that they're built in. You talked about, you know, buying a sweatshirt at a game. I was in San Diego this past May, and you don't think you're going to need a sweatshirt in San Diego. but we got there. I had a t-shirt on. It was warm during the day. I'm like, I'm going to wear jeans just in case. And I, by like the third inning, I was shivering. I was so cold. So we walked around, and I was going to buy a sweatshirt, and I knew what I wanted. I knew the sweatshirt that I wanted. I couldn't find it anywhere, and I couldn't justify spending 55, 60 bucks on a sweatshirt that I knew I was going to wear a couple times at most. And I just didn't like the sweatshirts they had, but you know, they didn't have the old, you know, the brown and yellow, which they've since kind of remade their colors into the brown, for 2020. But, yeah, so I'm with you on not spending or not enjoying the idea of spending money on a sweatshirt at a ballpark.
Yeah, you know, and that was interesting that you brought up the Padres uniforms there too, is because we're seeing a lot of, and by a lot, I mean maybe I think it's like three or four teams that are coming out with those retro, you know, alternate jerseys this year. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, you mentioned San Diego's one. I think Rangers are another. And I think I saw that the Mariners were the other one where they brought back the old, you know, the blue, the baby blues, I call them. And it's one of those things, like, as you know, you're growing up, you got a, you know, thing of baseball cards or something you're going through, and you're seeing these guys, you know, that, you know, these old school compared to today, these old school uniforms, it just brings back those, you know, those memories when you're watching it with your dad or your uncle or your brother or whatever. You're just sitting there watching a ball game, you know, and it brings back, and that's how you can, you know, you bring your son into it. I bring my son into it. And it's just, it's like, oh man, I never thought I'd be here.
Yeah.
But, you know, you mentioned, you know, you started your podcast last year. How did you come up with, you know, the idea of, hey, I want to start, you know, out of all things, a baseball podcast? Because it seems like nowadays, just in general, everybody's coming out with a podcast now. How did you, you know, get the idea of, you know, doing the Turn a Pair podcast and, you know, trying to make it a little bit of a unique concept?
Yeah, so I grew up as a kid. My stories are long, so
that's
buckle
fine.
Up, folks.
That's fine.
So as a kid, I grew up, I grew up a Cubs fan. I grew up, I wanted to be the next Harry Carey. So I would, as a kid, I would get a tape player and I would record myself. Now, I didn't have a microphone, but I had headphones, and I figured out if I plugged the headphones into the microphone jack that one earbud would work as a microphone. So I would watch Cubs games on mute, or I'd watch Bulls games on mute, and I would actually announce the game, do the play-by-play as if I was the guy, and I was probably, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, somewhere in there. That passion continued. I went to college. I went to Indiana University, and I studied broadcast journalism. And again, the idea was I wanted to be a baseball announcer. So I get into college. I get an internship with the Williamsport Crosscutters, and part of the reason, the main reason that I took the internship, is I told them that I'd like to do play-by-play. And they said, I tell you what, we've got a contract with the local university that broadcasts our games, that they provide the students to do the broadcasting. And they said, but we'll get you in. We'll have you do 5 games. I was going to do 2 games in Staten Island and 3 games in Brooklyn. Great. Sign me up. I'll get some tape. Then I can put that out there. Well, I got out there, and then about a month into the season, that got pulled away from me, unfortunately. I was pretty upset by it, but, you know, hey, whatever. Life goes on, right? So I really, honestly, at that time in my life, I didn't have the – I don't want to say I didn't have the drive, but I think I was probably more or less just throwing myself a pity party instead of going out and finding more opportunities for myself. I moved on from it. I gave up on it way too early. And you fast forward, you know, now here I am 38 years old. And for years, I'd complained to my wife about how, like, you know, and I worked in baseball for a couple of years, too. I got out of it, and now I've spent the majority of my career working in sales. And it's been great, right? I've made, you know, enough money to put a roof on my head and provide for my family. And but I've always had that just that itch to be a to do something in broadcasting. So my wife really just pushed me to say, hey, you know, start a podcast. Like, what all do you need to start a podcast? A microphone and a computer, and that's about it. You don't even need a microphone, really. So I did. I started a podcast, and I thought, what do I want to do? I love baseball. Obviously, that's what it was always going to be. So I decided I want to start interviewing baseball players. I love the backstory on people. I love hearing about what makes them tick. And so I wanted to start a podcast where I can interview baseball players, learn a little bit about the game for sure, but more or less I wanted to learn about the human beings. I wanted to learn about the people that got that baseball player to where they are today. I wanted to hear emotions from these guys, you know, what it's like from you start them off when they're a little kid and you go through high school, you go through college, they get drafted, and to hear them tell their stories about hearing their name called in the draft. It's always, I tell you what, I've done like 65 of these episodes. I rarely don't get the chills. Like it's so cool to hear these guys talk about that. And then for the guys that actually made it to the big leagues to hear how they found out they were making it to the big leagues. You know, how did they hear about the call up? What was it like the first time they stepped between the lines and just what was going through their head? Man, I love those stories. And as far as the name of the podcast, I played baseball up into my freshman year of college, and I always played second base or shortstop. And I was a chatty baseball player, as you can probably tell, the guy with the podcast and long stories. I would, anytime there was a guy on first base, I would always look at my middle infield mate, and I would say, hey, let's turn a pair. And so when I started this podcast, it just, to me, the only name that made sense was Turn a Pair Baseball Podcast. And that's pretty much the story. And like I said, I've interviewed a whole bunch of baseball players. I love what I'm doing. It's certainly not paying the bills in terms of paying my mortgage and car payment and all those things, but it's a fantastic hobby. It's a great release from the everyday grind of going to work. It's great, man. I've made a lot of friends through the podcast, you being one of them. And it's a great time. I love doing it, and I plan to do it for a long time.
Yeah, it seems to be a general, you know, along the same lines, so, you know, how I got into it, too. And, you know, because I went to, you know, I had a funny story is, you know, you called the, you know, the games on the TV. I have two younger brothers, and, you know, summer from basically, I want to say, pretty much when we started getting in high school and in middle school, basically from this time of the year, about February, March to, you know, right through till September was baseball for myself and my middle brother. There's 3 years between us. And I actually used to go to his games and like called like play by play his baseball games, like Little League. And because I always wanted to be, you know, the next Bob Costas. And, you know, being up here in the Northeast, you know, Bob Costas, you know, went to Syracuse, you know, he's a mainstay out in this area. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, you watch baseball, that's all you do. And, you know, that's, you know, how I got into, you know, doing what I did as far as wrestling is that outlet. You know, everybody needs that little outlet, you know, outside, like you said, the everyday grind. But you know, there's not too many baseball podcasts out there. And I'm like, man, it was funny when I was playing baseball, we always used to call, you know, those little fly balls or just over the head of the infield. We always used to call them duck snorts.
Yeah.
I have no idea why we called them that. And that was going to be like, if I ever had a baseball podcast, that was going to be, it would be duck snorts and pepper ball or something like that. Something like that, that it's out of the ordinary, because, you know, with my son, I'm sure you can relate too, is, you know, hey bud, let's go out in the backyard and play pepper. What's pepper? He's thinking it's the vegetable in the garden or something outside outside or something. Like, no, bud, you stand there. I'll hit the bat. Oh, don't hit it that hard towards me. I'm like, I'm not going to, bud. Just don't worry about it. But, you know, it's one of those pastimes that, you know, I compare it to wrestling too a lot, is, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, has gone on the rest of the week. You're sitting there on a Saturday afternoon, the sun's out, the birds are chirping, you start up the grill, you got a beer and a cold one in your hand, and you're sitting there, you're watching a ball game. You can't beat that, whether it's live or just sitting at home or something. And that's just that couple hours there, you can just kind of unwind.
Well, it's interesting. I've never really thought about baseball and wrestling as a comparison, but think about it. As you said that, it's just my wheels started spinning, both of which have been around for well over 100 years, both of which have been, you know, a fabric of our culture. I think, you know, wrestling has larger than life characters, you know, going back Bruno Sammartino and Hulk Hogan and all the way up until the guy, you know, John Cena, the guys of today. Baseball, same thing. It's these larger-than-life characters, Babe Ruth, Mike Trout today. These guys are incredible. And, yeah, I mean, it's like we all sort of nerd out on them, and I guess we don't all nerd out on them. But, you know, a lot of people do, because stadiums are packed, you know, around the world when they show up. But, yeah, they're very similar. It's fun. It's something that generations can relate to. I remember – it's a wrestling podcast, so I'll talk a little wrestling. I remember when I was a kid, WrestleMania 4 is really the first time I remember doing this. My family would always get WrestleMania or Survivor Series or whatever, SummerSlam, whatever the big pay-per-view was. I shouldn't say we always did. We did this a couple times. But when we did, my dad, his buddies would come over. Now, my dad was probably at that time in his late 30s. My grandparents would come over, and it was like we'd have like 10 or 15 people huddled around our little TV at the house, all watching wrestling. And I remember I was into it because I loved wrestling, but they were all into it too. And it's same. I've got those stories of baseball too. Several generations of baseball, you know, fans all sitting around watching Cubs games, watching playoff games, World Series. As a kid, there weren't a whole lot of playoff games and World Series for a Cubs fan, but you know, they were still there to watch. And yeah, it's just they're great, man. We love them.
Yeah, and you know, you get that, like you said, it's that lull between seasons that you have. It's that cold winter, and depending on what team you're a fan of, sometimes it's even longer, you know. Obviously, being, you know, growing up a Cubs fan, you know, those early days of watching them on WGN, for me anyways, it was funny because I grew up kind of, it was more of a closet Cubs fan, because two reasons. One, my cousin was a Cubs fan, or is a Cubs fan, I should say. And two, my grandmother used to have the old school, huge, ginormous satellite dishes in her backyard. Kind of the ones you see at like TV stations now.
Yeah.
And she had one line, because we were probably about, maybe not even, probably about 50 yards between us, lived next door to each other growing up. And she put a line into her house and, you know, put a line in our house. So I would get, you know, WGN, you know, listening to, you know, a lot of Harry Carey growing up, and, you know, never really understood it or understood him or really got him until I got a little bit older. I'm like, man, that's just like iconic voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sitting there, I grew up a huge Ryan Sandberg fan. Huge.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And just, I can't believe that he's still not, you know, I think he got a raw deal there. And I think it was Philadelphia he was the manager of, right?
Yeah, he managed Philly. The Cubs, he was in the Cubs system for quite a while. And yeah. I think made his way up all the way up to, I want to say, Double A. And there was talk about him potentially managing the Cubs at some point. The Cubs ended up going with Ricky Renteria instead. And, or maybe it was Dale Swaim, the old Brewers hitting coach. But, you know, I Ryan Sandberg is my all-time favorite baseball player. No, hands down. I grew up, I'd stand out on second base or shortstop, and I would, all my mannerisms were just Ryan Sandberg. I mean, I was to a T minus the exceptional glove and, you know, pop, you know, at the plate, but Ryan Sandberg was great. But yeah, there's so many Cubs fans in our age and older around the country, whether or not it was necessarily their favorite team, but at least it had that sort of, hey, maybe they're my second favorite team, because you come home from school, you flip on the TV, and they're right about the time you get home is the same time Harry Carey's singing the seventh inning stretch. And you've got a stadium full of people singing with Harry. He's this larger than life character. And then, you know, you've got day baseball. You've got the ivy, the sunshine, the whole thing. It's a beautiful setting. And it was easy for people all around the country to fall in love with the Cubs because WGN was broadcast in every home, just about every home in the country.
Yeah, it's just, you see, especially with baseball, you know, you always see there's, I group a lot of people, a lot of fans of teams into one category. You know, you see your Yankee fans, you see your Dodgers fans, and you see your Cubs fans, and maybe a little bit Red Sox fans in there too, across the whole country. Because my brother is out in north of San Francisco. He's out in I believe it's Walnut Creek, California. And he did an internship with the Giants for a summer, working with them in there. Pretty much a little bit of everything, tickets, you know, game day stuff. And he's like, yeah, it's just so much just baseball out here because you can do it year round pretty much. And as you know, you're talking to a lot of these guys on the show, and you know, the latest one, you had guys from North Dakota. I'm like, how the heck, you know, you pretty much got to, you know, practice inside in a dome or something year round, you know?
Yep.
And that's pretty much when I was playing in high school, that's what we did. They converted an old, highway department garage into two cages. We had like, area for, you know, we could play catch or, you know, play pepper or something, you know, just to kind of, you know, get the blood flowing, get that baseball mentality back. And then we had a mound or two to, you know, have for pitchers to throw off of, but it's so interesting to see, you know, going from state to state to, you see the development of baseball now. Even though now you're seeing a lot of the, you know, these, you know, scandals with, you know, cameras in the outfield and button or vibrating buttons or something on your jersey so you know what pitch is coming. And, you know, it darkens the game a little bit. But, you know, those diehards like yourself, like myself, like Graham, that are out there that have watched it our whole lives, it's not really going to, you know, not really going to phase us. Do you, you know, with this latest one, do you think it's really going to put a damper on attendances at stadiums this season?
No, actually, I think it's going to do quite the opposite. I think, you know, I don't like this saying, but I think it's true. You know, if you're in the news, it's probably a good thing. You're getting attention, especially when you're able to draw attention away from the NFL. During the NFL playoff run, people were talking about baseball. And I can't remember in the last 20 years when that's been a thing. It wasn't good. I'm not advocating that baseball should have scandals all the time. But I don't know that it's going to hurt the game. I mean, I think about one of the things I think about heading into 2020 is what's going to happen when Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa and, you know, Springer and Bregman, all these guys step up to the plate. You and I both know this, and most people listening know this, that baseball players police themselves, whether we like it or not. I'm not a fan of it, by the way. I'm not a fan of beanballs. Those guys are going to see their fair share of beanballs. And I've seen people on Twitter say things like, great, hit us all day long, or mainly Astros fans, right? Hit us all day long, it'll be the free base runner and the run that will score. And it's like, yeah, but with beanballs comes injuries, and sometimes far worse than injuries, you know, just setbacks. And I think that people are going to tune in to see that. They're going to tune in to see what happens when the first time that Mike Fiers takes the mound against the Astros. You know, people are going to tune into this stuff just to see what's going on. And I think if they truly have legislated this out of the game, then I'm interested to see what happens to those teams that have been accused of cheating. The Red Sox got reprimanded pretty hard for 2018. They didn't have such a great 2019. Coincidence? Maybe. I don't know. We can't prove that. The Astros, now we all know what they're doing. We all knew what they did. Let's see how it works out for them. This week, there was some data that came out. There was a guy that went through, I believe he's an Astros fan. He went through and watched every game and listened for garbage can bangs. And I think it was through the 2017 season. And there were like, I don't know how many thousand bangs there was, like close to 10,000 throughout the season. And there were games where they, you know, just, he listed out each game, how many bangs he heard. He broke it down by percentage of pitches a player saw versus how many pitches they saw where they heard a bang on the garbage can. And, you know, you got guys like George Springer saw the most bangs and had the most success off the bangs. So you wonder if a guy like that, if his career, his especially at the plate, does it dip? I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's still impressive to hit a major league slider or curveball or changeup or a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. That's all impressive. But when you know it's coming is different from when you don't know it's coming. And so I wonder how that's all going to work out as we move into the 2020 season. I think there's going to be a fall off. I've said this for years. And I know other people have said it too. So I don't know that it's not really my original thought. But I've said for years, 2016, 17, 18, the Astros are so much better than everybody else. I mean, look at the pitching staff. Justin Verlander in Detroit was aging, nearing the end of his career. He gets traded to Houston, and all of a sudden, he's a 28-year-old, 29-year-old stud horse again. Gerrit Cole was a really good pitcher. Gerrit Cole started a couple wild card playoff games. Didn't win any of them. But still, he was good enough to be in that position for his team. And he pitched well in those opportunities. He goes to Houston, and now all of a sudden, he's otherworldly. And so I've always thought Houston's doing something. Trevor Bauer, like him or not, he's always said there's stuff going on in Houston. We're going to find out about it someday. And we did find out about the batting stuff, but I still want to know why pitchers in Houston have such accelerated spin rates over the guys on other teams. I don't know if that's ever going to come out because I don't know that baseball wants it to come out. But now that all the eyes are on Houston, I just wonder, I don't think they're going to even attempt to try to get over, or do these crazy things like they did in 17, 18, 19, at least that we know of. So I wonder what sort of fall there's going to be. But I truly think that more people are going to watch the game, at least early on in the season. And I haven't even talked yet about the baseballs and what they've done with those and how they went from a juice ball to in the playoffs, they went back to the old ball. I don't know if they're going to still play with the juice ball. I don't know. It's all really a mess, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm still surprised that, you know, you see a lot of, especially sometimes in football too, you see these guys, you know, some guys like, you know, the football that's, you know, a little bit flat or a little bit harder, or the kickers like them a little bit soft, a little bit like, I'm like, well, with baseball, I'm like, okay, well, some of them you may change them up a little bit or whatever, but you know, I never really sat down and thought about it until all of these juice, quote unquote, juice balls came out, and like, oh, well, they got to be doing something to them. Or you go back to the old days of, you know, with Sammy Sosa with the corked bat or something, and, you know, trying to explain it to my wife or my son what a corked bat is. I'm like, oh, man, just Google it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, with the baseball, it's just something. You were pretty right about that with Houston. It's like, you know, something was going on, you know, and it's like, it's unfortunate that, you know, it's kind of the domino effect is pretty effective with that. And you know, a lot, obviously a lot of people are suffering, and it's like, it's one of those things, like you said, it's, if you're in the news, you're doing something right, good or bad, but you know, you're getting that any news is good news sometimes. But with that being said, you know, you can't help but think, you know, a lot of these guys that are on the Astros that, you know, your Altuves, your Correas, your Verlanders that, you know, are very certainly would be Hall of Famers when that time does come. You know, you get the likes of, you know, I'm not putting them in the, you know, same category as aspect of it, but, you know, guys like a Pete Rose, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, you know, Rafael Palmeiro, these guys that, you know, quote unquote, cheated the game. Do you tend to put that in the same category, or do you think it's like three totally different things?
I think they're all completely separate. Let's start with the beginning. And you mentioned this before we started recording, but the Black Sox. So I'll start there and I'll work my way back. The Black Sox was that was tied in with the Mafia. The Mafia was the gambling, right? I mean, they're paying players to throw games. A team that should have absolutely smoked the team they played. I don't remember who they played. But the White Sox should have smoked that team. And they didn't. Because guys were making plays, making mistakes that they just didn't make. That White Sox team was stacked. And so they blew it. That won't happen again, I don't think, because guys are just paid so much money now. Major League players, that is. Are paid so much money that I just don't think that's going to happen. But back then, those guys would get paid, and Comiskey was as cheap as you could possibly imagine for the time. And so these guys needed to make more money because, you know, they worked in the off season. They went and laid brick and, you know, put roofs on houses and things like that. So, but that's totally separate because that was you have organized crime fitting in and paying guys. So you fast forward now to Pete Rose. Pete Rose gambled on baseball because of the Black Sox. Baseball had basically one rule that said, if you do this, you are out of the game forever. Everyone knew it, and Pete still did it because he was an egomaniac and didn't think he'd get caught, but he did. And then he lied about it for God knows how long, 20-some, 30 years. And I think Pete Rose is a smug asshole. And the other thing, Pete Rose made a comment, and I don't know all the details about this, but he made a comment basically about how with the passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the other folks, the other seven individuals that passed away last Sunday, that they took the news away from baseball. He made that comment, and I thought, This guy doesn't get it. So personally, I really don't care at all about Pete Rose. One of the greatest baseball players of all times, yes. But he can take a long walk off of a short plank, bridge, whatever the hell you want to call it. Not a Pete Rose fan at all. As far as the steroid era,
I can't tell.
yeah. Again, great baseball player, super shitty human being.
Yeah,
that's all it is. That's just, I don't know. The guy doesn't get it. He's just, whatever. People want to call him old school, whatever. Old school is just like, for me, it's out of touch. But then you go to the steroid era.
Yeah.
Again, some of those guys are smug pricks. Barry Bonds. I remember I saw Barry Bonds. I was the only human being on the sidewalk when Barry Bonds played for the Giants. He walks out of the stadium at Wrigley Field. I happened to be right there when he walked out, and I was like, oh my God. And I was like, Barry, can I have your autograph? And he sidestepped me, a kid, I was probably like 12, sidestepped me and got in the car. By the way, his whole team got on a bus. He got on a separate car because he's Barry freaking Bonds, I guess. But yeah, he was a prick. So I didn't like him for that. But you know what? Those guys, Clemens, Bonds, Sosa, Palmeiro, great baseball players. You know, it sort of sounds contradictory since I said Pete Rose is an asshole. But Pete Rose did, he gambled on baseball when he knew he wasn't supposed to. Steroids were not even illegal when these guys were using them. And by the way, there's probably guys in the Hall of Fame that did steroids. But character, which is sort of what we're questioning here with the use of steroids, shouldn't be in question when it comes to the Hall of Fame, because Ty Cobb is in the Hall of Fame. And as long as Ty Cobb's in the Hall of Fame, you can't disqualify someone for doing something that's morally unethical. And if you want to know what Ty Cobb did, just Google Ty Cobb. He's a world-class asshole. Like, not on the Pete Rose level, like, times it by 10. He was a terrible, racist, awful human being. Anyway, you got me all fired up here. Fast forward now to the Astros. All I can really go off here is what I've heard other players say. And I pretty much haven't heard anyone with a different opinion on this, but baseball players are more pissed off about the Astros than they ever are, were, or will be about the steroid era. Because steroids gives you, and I actually had a conversation with a former major leaguer who played during the steroid era just yesterday on Twitter. And he said, listen, steroids made you stronger. It gave you more confidence, but it didn't necessarily help you barrel up a ball. Yes, it made you stronger so you can get the bat around faster, but and it also helped you recover. But it didn't help you know the difference between a fastball and a slider any better before, you know, beforehand. And so players almost, yeah, it sucks because guys did steroids to and maybe made it, and guys that chose not to do steroids perhaps didn't make it as a result. But the cheating thing, it's like when you know what's coming, you don't have to be anywhere near as good when you already know the play being called. And so they get pretty frustrated by that, which is why I think that they're due for some payback, those Astros players, this season coming up, which, again, I'm not advocating for it. You know, as far as your question about the Hall of Fame, you know, guys like Bregman, Correa, Springer, they're all Altuve. I still think they're really good ball players, even without that stuff. I'm sure it helped to a degree. How much? I don't know that we'll ever truly know unless they all are forthcoming with it. I think we'll know if in 2020, 2021, 2022, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, Springer, Correa, if those guys are still putting up all-star caliber, near MVP-like numbers, and they continue to do that for a long time, another decade, then, yeah, I don't see why you don't keep them out of the Hall. I don't see why they should be held out of the Hall of Fame. I mean, quite honestly, the Hall of Fame is a museum. It's not like it's that sanctimonious of a place that we have to keep guys out because of whatever. I mean, guys have cheated forever. I mean, I don't know what they were doing, but guys were cheating back when Babe Ruth was playing.
Mm. Yeah, it's fun because, you know, a lot of people that I work with, my shoot job anyways, is to use a wrestling term now, but
I thought you said your shoe, like sneakers, and then you said your shoot, and I was like, hell yeah, come more with those wrestling terms.
Yeah, my shoe job, I got like 3 or 4 different jobs, and I'm a shoemaker at night, you know. I got those little elves outside
yeah,
in the tree. They make cookies during the day and they help me with shoes at night. Nice. But you know, we go back and forth to talk baseball and stuff. You know, there's a group of us, there's a group of them that are, unfortunately, they're Red Sox fans. And
you can't get away from those Red Sox fans.
I can't. There really isn't. And of course, they're Patriots fans too. So as you know, being a Bills fan, it doesn't really, you know, correlate too well. But regardless, you know, we go back and forth. And
hey, can I ask you a Bills question before we answer that?
Sure, you move can. On? Sure, go. Shoot.
How many times have you jumped off the top of a van onto a table at a Bills tailgate?
Once.
You actually did?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Some of those I love. I specifically love when the table doesn't break or they just graze the table and they take the bump basically on the asphalt. I love it. I that because it's so stupid to do one, but I also get a kick out of it because this is the weirdest thing in the world. I have this fantasy. I so badly want to get thrown through a table. That's like, I want to take that bump so bad, but it's got to be a gimmick. And I want a pro wrestler throwing me through that table. I don't want like my buddy doing it because they'll try to hurt me.
Well, right. No, exactly. And, you know, and not that it makes it any better, but the table, it was during the winter and there was snow underneath it. So we thought it was a good idea because if we went through it and we like went straight through it,
yeah,
we'd at least hit the snow and it would cushion us a little bit instead of hitting the pavement. So, you know, there was some sort of non-drunken thought going into it. But yeah, I always used to go to the Bills games with a group of us that were wrestling fans too. We actually did the whole backyard wrestling thing at my buddy's house. And, wow. and that was mistake 134 of my life. So, yeah, you don't know what wrestling is until you wrestle on a trampoline in the middle of winter in Buffalo, New York, in stocking feet and getting hit in the head with a non-gimmicked cookie sheet. So, needless to say,
oh my God.
That's, let's see, that's concussion number 3. So, but that's a story for another time. but.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's amazing.
No kidding. I don't know if I care to forget it or I can actually like not remember it. I don't know which one's worse, but yeah, it goes back to when we're talking about South Bend going to Notre Dame Stadium. That is by far the best tailgating experience I've ever had. And that's including a Bills game because one, it's two totally different demographics and two totally different groups of fans, obviously.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you walk around Notre Dame Stadium and you get fed, you know, people give you sandwiches, they give you shots of whiskey. You go to a Bills game and you go watch a guy called Pinto Ron, who lives in a van for 4 days at the Bills Stadium, basically having good-looking girls squirt ketchup and mustard on him. I kid you not. If you want to check it out, seriously, I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. Google or YouTube Pinto Ron.
Okay.
And he basically looks, no pun intended, he looks homeless pretty much. And
I found him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You go.
He's got his own Wikipedia page.
Oh my God, I didn't realize that. But yeah, it's just those experiences, whether it be baseball, football, wrestling, it just goes, it's memories you're always going to have forever. And I totally forgot what track we were going on before you
started with cheating in baseball, and then somehow I interrupted you talking about getting thrown through tables at a Bills game, and then we started talking about Pinto Ron, who is actually a software engineer,
so he's a smart guy, so he's not homeless.
Yeah That's what it says on his Wikipedia page, and the internet never lies.
Of course, you know, if it's on Google or the internet, it's got to be true.
Yep.
Yeah, I totally forgot. Anyways, next topic. Anyways, well, easy transition with this. You know, this is something that I just saw. I believe it was last week that I think Graham put it in our group message about the DH in both leagues. With you being a National League guy, I'm an American League guy. I don't mind the DH in both leagues just for this reason why you have interleague play. You get your pitchers going over and potentially getting hurt, running the bases. They don't know how to slide properly, whatever the case may be. But I can also see the other turn of the side of the coin where you have to have a certain amount of strategy going into it. Where do you align yourself with that?
I think here's my thought on the DH. I think as a Cubs fan, I want to see the DH starting opening day 2020 because I really like Kyle Schwarber. Mm-hmm. I like watching Kyle Schwarber. When Kyle Schwarber's on, I mean, he's a great hitter. He really is, as evidenced by what he did in the World Series in 2016. He has his moments at the plate where he just kind of has a brain cramp, but everyone does. I mean, it's baseball. It is a really hard game. Guys fail way more than they ever succeed, and, you know, that's just how baseball is. But watching Kyle Schwarber play left field is like watching a car drive, you know, watching someone just drive through a busy intersection through a red light in the middle of rush hour. It's like you just hope that they don't get creamed. And he's gotten better, I think, you know, but he still makes these incredibly boneheaded mistakes. He looks like a football player. They just said, hey, you're an athlete. Throw this glove on your hand and just stop it when it comes to you. And so I'd love to see him not play the outfield but still be able to contribute offensively. That's really a short-sighted thought. I don't know. I mean, everyone, the argument to keep the DH and the NL is the strategy, right? And people say, well, why do you want to watch pitchers go up there and hit? You know, the league average for a pitcher is probably .180. You're pulling this out of my ass. I don't really know. They don't always bunt very well. You know, they can't really hit. They strike out. Some of the guys step in the back corner of the box, take three pitches, and they go back. They don't even care. And it could be sometimes in a big spot with guys on second and third and the fourth inning of a game where you know every run is so critically important. And it's so frustrating. It is interesting when you factor in the strategy part of it is like, okay, do I want my pitcher to go out and bat right now just to keep his arm in the game for another inning or two? Or do I pull him and then make it a bullpen game? I think personally, I'm okay with the DH in the National League. It'll be a little bit hard to get used to, but I'm okay with it. It's more offense. So, I mean, I don't necessarily need offense in a game to enjoy it. I certainly appreciate a well-pitched game. I appreciate good defense. So I don't need offense to be entertained to watch baseball. But it is frustrating to watch a pitcher go up there and just not have a good at bat. And that happens way, way more than it doesn't. So I'm sort of like, I don't really care, to be quite honest with you, about the DH. I think it's going to happen. So I've just sort of resigned myself to the fact that Rob Manfred, worst commissioner in sports, in my opinion. Maybe Gary Bettman would argue with him on that one, but I think everything he does, it's stupid. The whole thing he's got going on with minor league baseball, which, by the way, that whole thing about contracting 42 minor league teams, that came from the Astros. So another reason to dislike the Astros, they don't like minor league baseball. They're cheap, and they also don't like human beings. They prefer to have computers run everything. They treat their employees like shit too. So yeah, just further, I'm burying the Astros on this podcast.
Well, see, I don't know if who you buried more, Houston Astros or Pete Rose. I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think, you know, put them both on the same bus and do whatever you want with the bus.
take a long drive on a short pier, right?
That's the word I'm looking for. I called it a bridge.
I knew what you meant.
Necessarily advocate someone, you know, dying or anything, but maybe a few, you know, stiff. Maybe some working punches, not working punches. I mean, some shoot punches, you know, stretch a guy out a little bit, you know?
Well, that's one way of doing it. But I wouldn't mind seeing, going back with the pitchers, you know, you get guys that, you know, for one guy, Madison Bumgarner, who's now, he got signed with Arizona, right?
He's with the D-backs. Yes, sir.
And, you know, that he's one of those guys where you don't mind watching him bat. You know what I mean? You've seen, you know, last year they're talking about having pitchers home run derby at the All-Star game.
Oh, and I'm I would love that.
And I think that's one of the things when you were doing the, you know, it's All-Star, when during All-Star weekend, when you were out, you doing the show, and I gave you those ideas that I had as far as making the All-Star game better or whatever the case may be. I think that was one of them that we came up with.
Yeah, I think so. I think we, I talked about it on the podcast. You know, I think if they do the DH in the NL, let it be a, I mean, I don't know if, I really don't know this rule, if the DH is required to be the pitcher or if you can DH for somebody else, because, you know, there's plenty of guys out there in the league that start that are incredible defensive players, but can't swing the bat. And, you know, it might be interesting on a game where, you know, Bumgarner pitches, you'd want his bat. And plus, are you going to want to be the manager that goes up to him and says, hey, hey, Mad Bum, we're going to, you're not going to bat today. Hell no. That guy would probably kill you. He killed a rattlesnake with his bare hands. So I'm not about to tell that guy that he can't pitch today or can't hit today. So yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting if you could have a, you know, if there's a light hitting shortstop, you could put out there and DH for him and let Mad Bum hit. I don't know. There are some pitchers that are fun to watch it. Jake Arrieta, Bumgarner, Zach Greinke. These guys are athletes, and they can hit bombs with the best of them.
Yeah, and, you know, even with, you know, you go with, what was it, Big Sexy Bartolo Colon when he was with the Mets there.
Yeah.
I remember watching him when he – was it with the Pirates, I think he got drafted? Anyways, Indians. Maybe it was with the Indians. I'm not sure.
I thought he came up with the Expos, but I might be wrong.
You know, he might have been with that era with him and with Pedro. I think that was that era there too. But, man, I watched him and I'm like, man, he was even a, like when he was, before he was Big Sexy, you know, he was still a stocky dude regardless, and he had muscle on him, and I'm like, I wouldn't mess with him either way.
Yeah.
You know, but that's, I've always, you know, been in favor of, you know, seeing what the pitchers can do. You know, I just, my mentality, because, you know, I don't want him to get hurt, and, you know, knowing my luck, you'll have, you know, with the Yankees or something, I'm sure Graham wouldn't mind it, but you know, you have, you know, Chapman or something go out there and get hurt or something, or you get Tanaka go out there and take a line drive to the arm or something. It's like, oh, well, he's done. I'm like, oh, great.
Well, you know, you know, last 2 years ago, the Cubs were in a playoff push to the end, and they were playing the Nationals, and the bullpen was struggling really, really bad in 2018. And they were in extra innings, and they really didn't have anyone else to pitch that they could trust. And they brought Pedro Strop in the game to pitch. He pitched, got him out of a jam, brought him back. He was supposed to bat. They actually scored to take the lead and let Pedro bat. And I thought, okay, this could be a criminally poor decision to let Pedro Strop bat. I would have told him to go stand in the box and take three pitches and be done. He actually hit the ball, ran to first base, and tore his hamstring. And done for the season. And the Cubs continue to falter. Their bullpen, which is already weak, had very few arms that were worth anything. Strop was one of the arms that was worth something. They ended up blowing it. They lost game 163, and then they lost the wild card game to Colorado. And I'm telling you, all they needed was one more win. They ended up losing that game. But one more win that season, which could have been a game Pedro Strop could have come in to help close out, would have been the difference between them playing game 163 and then playing in the wild card versus winning the division and then going into the playoffs and playing either Milwaukee or... So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, that's the argument against pitchers. Again, I'm sort of indifferent on it. It's going to happen, so we might as well just prepare for it.
Yeah, it's whether you want to or not.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
You traveled to a couple stadiums last year. Do you have anything planned for this coming year yet, or are you kind of just waiting to see what things, how things progress?
You know, I don't have any plans for this year. This year, the big vacation expenses are all going to be put towards Disney World. And so we're taking the kids there. That's probably going to eat into what I would normally use for a trip around baseball stadiums. I don't know. I mean, at this point, I've covered 20 of the current 30 ballparks. And everywhere I need to go now is all, it's not a drive. So I can't do a weekend trip to Detroit or, you know, Kansas City or whatever. I've got to fly somewhere, wherever I go. And so it's not easy. It's certainly not cheap. So I don't know. I may work in the end of our Disney trip. The Rays are in town. So I may try to swing out to a Rays game. I don't know. I may not get to any new stadiums this year, which is a total bummer. But I will certainly get to games at Miller Park, at Wrigley Field, and at Guaranteed Rate to go see the White Sox. So I'll go to those three stadiums, which I've been to those a million times. So I don't know. I wish I could say I had a great trip planned to go to Seattle and Colorado, which are the only two out west I need to go see. And then the rest is all, you know, both New York's Fenway, Philly, Washington, Atlanta, Tampa, and Miami. Those are the 10 I have left. So I'm 2/3 of the way there. I don't know that I'm going to check any new ones off this year. I wish I could, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Now, is there one stadium that you haven't been to yet that, on your bucket list of stadiums?
Yeah, I think if someone were to say, okay, you can only go to one stadium and I'll pay for it, I would say I'd want to go to Fenway. That's just an iconic ballpark. I'd love to go see it. That's probably the one. I'm probably in the minority here, but and you're not going to like this a whole lot. I'm not itching to go to Yankee Stadium. If it was the old Yankee Stadium, I'd be a lot more inclined to go, but I don't know. I'm not all that excited to go there. I'm going to, in a perfect world, I'd go there this summer, but it's not, if I were to rank them in terms of where I'd want to go, Fenway is absolutely at the top of the list. And that's just because it's such an iconic stadium. It's so much different than all the other current ballparks that are out there. So much history. And I want to see it. I want to experience all that is Fenway, the neighborhood, everything about it. And just kind of soak it all in.
Yeah. My dad, I think I sent you the picture. I think it was last season where he actually got to, step on the mound at Fenway.
Wow.
And this is a Yankee fan. Keep in mind that before he left, he's like, man, I go out there with my stepmom. And, he was out there for work. And, he's like, yeah, I'm going to wear my jersey underneath my jacket. I'm going to rip off my jacket and go, go Yankees. I'm like, okay, one, I love it. Two, you're not going to get out of that stadium alive.
Yeah.
And three, I'll make sure that we have enough money to get you out of prison.
Yeah.
And it was just, those stadiums are, like I said before, that one and Wrigley is just, I didn't get a chance to go to the original Yankee Stadium, so that's kind of one of those things. Like, all right, I got to get to these. But now, we're Turn a Pair podcast. You interview all the minor league players. Has there been, your favorite interviews that you say, okay, if there's somebody out there that's listening to this and they're a baseball fan, they want to start listening to it, what interview would you suggest them go listen to first?
Wow, it's an interesting way to ask the question, because I always get like, what's your favorite interview? And I don't know. I don't know that I have a favorite, because I feel like I always finish recording and then I leave the podcast room and I go talk to my wife. My wife's like, how did it go? And I'm always so energized by the conversation. I don't know that there's one that just completely sticks out as oh my God, that was unbelievable. There's certainly guys that I've connected with, that I've stayed in touch with more so than others. Aiden McIntyre, great, unbelievably great human being. He's an Oakland A's pitching prospect. The guy was like, barely made his high school team, didn't have an opportunity to play in college. He was the last guy on a small school roster, worked his way up. The A's ended up picking him because, I mean, he sort of figured it out his last year in college. He was like a guy that threw in the low 80s in college. And now he's in this season, he led the Midwest League in strikeouts. And just a few years prior to that, he was throwing in the 80s. And now he's throwing in the 90s. I mean, he figured it out, right? He started working with Driveline. He's my most downloaded episode. So I'd say that's a good one to go listen to. Plus, he's just a great guy. Great story. The episode that I'm going to put out on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, with Errol Robinson. Errol is such a charismatic guy. He's a great storyteller, and just a fun guy to talk to. He comes from a great family. He's, you know, shared some really cool stories about, you know, how his dad helped. I think Errol's always been a very confident guy, but his dad helped him harness that confidence and that drive that he had that was just sort of like innate in him. And he shared that the moment that his dad really started coaching him up on the mental side of just being a strong human being. And then he talked about his mom and his mom's passion for Ole Miss, which is where they all went to college, sister, both parents, and just the passion that she has, and, you know, that she's so just kind of outgoing about that passion. So that kind of stuff is really, really cool. John Duplantier was a great one. I mean, that guy is just put that guy on TV. I mean, he's great. Roseanne Sapia, who occasionally guest hosts on the show, interviewed John, and John's just a great guy. We got done recording with that, and Roseanne and I were talking about how we both just want to go hang out with John. And he's just such a guy that is just brimming with positive energy. And there's so many guys I've interviewed. Brent Suter, pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, funny guy, another great guy. So I know you asked me one. I'm just sort of rattling a bunch off here, but there's been so many really good ones. Joe Hudson's another one. He just signed with the Seattle Mariners. He's got a shot to be on their big league club coming out of spring training as a catcher. So there's a bunch of really, really good guys out there that are busting their ass to try to live a dream. And go check it out. Turn a Pair Baseball Podcast.
Yeah, I think another couple ones that I started listening to and I enjoy was the Jimmy Nelson one and the Matt Davidson, because those are two of the guys that, you know, some people may know, but those are the more bigger names, not that you've had on. For me anyways.
Yeah, you know, Jimmy, it's interesting. Jimmy was Jimmy treated it like it was like I was like a professional member of the media, which you can look at two ways. One, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be considered like that, because I'm not. I just want to be, I'm like a dude, right? I'm just like a fan that wants to talk to these guys and talk to them like a fan that's interested in a little bit of their lives. So Jimmy was very, but I think that's just the way he is. He's very regimented and structured and really nice guy, though. And then, yeah, Matt Davidson. Matt Davidson's a cool guy. It's funny. He's got a little boy, and he's got him riding dirt bikes and kind of following in the path that he lives. So cool. Yeah, both were good guys, and it's always cool when you get guys that are current big leaguers that are on the show.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, before we close up shop tonight, you know, I want to thank you for, first of all, coming on, taking the time out. I know you got a busy schedule between the kids and, you know, the show and all that good stuff. But what one guy in the minor league system that, you know, that you follow or that people should know about, you know, keep their eyes on this guy or that guy in the minors to make a big splash in the next year or two?
Oh, man. I've mentioned a couple of guys already. Andrew Young with the Diamondbacks. But there's two guys One is going to make his big league debut coming out of camp. So I'm going to give you two names. They're great follows on Twitter. They're both great guys. I've had them both on the podcast. Sterling Sharp, he was on the Washington Nationals, pitched in Double A last year, got scooped up. He was not protected in the Rule 5 draft, so which is shocking. The Marlins picked him up, and so what that means is he's got to stay on the Marlins roster through, I believe, at least August. But he's got to stay on the Marlins roster for quite a while, on the main roster. So he's going to get a chance to pitch in the big leagues. So I wish him the best. He's a great guy. He was one of the first guys I had on the podcast. I still talk to him occasionally, but he gives back. He's from the Detroit area. He gives back to the community quite a bit. He's got a scholarship fund. Great stuff. Great guy. The other one is Nick Heath of the Kansas City Royals. Nick was a fun guy to have on the podcast. Spent his winter in the Dominican Republic playing for Licey, which is a team in the Dominican Republic. He is just such an unbelievable, huge personality. The guy is 24/7 smiling. Also, from the baseball side, he led all levels of baseball in stolen bases last year. He's going to start the season probably in Omaha with the Royals AAA team. But Nick Heath is the center fielder of the future for the Kansas City Royals. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not up very early in the season. Incredible, incredible athlete. Super fast, solid fielder. That's a guy that he's one of those guys that when he gets up, if he has any level of success, baseball people will learn about his personality and will just love him. So Nick Heath and Sterling Sharp, follow those guys on Twitter. Pay attention to their careers. Both are going to see action in the big leagues this year, and I can't wait.
Yeah, those are two of the guys, you know, from obviously from listening to the show that I, you know, I always, you know, I don't follow a lot of baseball players, but those are two of the guys, you know, after listening to your show that I definitely went out of my way to, you know, to follow those two guys. And obviously your Roseanne as well, too, because she's, you know, you get a different view on the game from her point of view, or from her from her point of view, her line, whatever you want to call it. But
Roseanne is, in 10 years, I will look back and say, I can't believe that I know Roseanne Sapia and that she was on my podcast, because she's going to be an absolute star. She is awesome. And I can't wait to see what she does with her career. She's got, you know, she's kind of dipping her toes in so many different things, and she's really, really good at everything that she does from a writing standpoint, interviewing ball players. She has it, and I am really excited to watch her grow and her career.
Yeah, it's always made the comment, I'm sure you saw him on Twitter too, whenever she was on, I'm like, man, you know, you're going to get those rings or start going up. She's going to take over the show, man. You might want to watch out and hold back a little bit with Roseanne. I think, you know, you got a diamond in the rough here.
I have no problem with that. None at all. I love talking and love doing the podcast, but I'm just the guy, right? I'm there to get the talent over. And she's another person that I'd love if I can get her over. That would be, she does it all on her own. But if I can give her the platform to help her in any way get over, I'm on. I'm in.
Well, there you go. So, you know, lastly, you know, just plug anything you got coming up, you know, shows you got coming up, way people can get a hold of you on social and, you know, go from there.
Yeah. So you can find the podcast on a number of different places. Start with Twitter. So you can find me on Twitter, find the podcast at Turn A Pair Chris. You can find us on Instagram at Turn A Pair Baseball Podcast. And then you can listen to us in a number of different places: iTunes, Apple Play, Google Play, Podomatic, and Spotify. So check us out. Subscribe to our show. We'd love it if you did. Share us with your friends, and give us a follow on Twitter. We like interacting. I interact with RJ quite a bit, and the more the merrier. So bring it on.
Yeah, it's nice to get the baseball people out there like yourself and Graham that, you know, will just sit back and, you know, granted, like I said, I'm going to keep taking shots at Graham being a Red Sox fan, but he'll send me GIFs or GIFs or whatever we want to call it. Of just random Red Sox stuff of, you know, I think one was Pedro Martinez throwing Don Zimmer down. And and then I send back the Bucky Dent home run. And we just go back and forth. It's kind of one of those relationships that we have together with the baseball stuff. But definitely if, you know, anybody listening, you know, that are baseball fans out there, go over, subscribe, you know, wherever you get your podcast to Chris's show. Absolutely phenomenal. It's nice to see a lot of the stars of tomorrow being public out there with your show. Go over, subscribe, follow them, all that good stuff. And like I said, Chris, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for thank you for listening to the show too.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. It's always cool to be on a show that I listen to. So that's really cool. So thank you very much for that. It's an honor to be thought of as someone that you'd like to have on the show and to actually be on the show. So thank you so much. And, you know, thanks for those that listened.
Psst, hey, kid, have you ever heard of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show? Yes, I have, because I am he, Mr. Warren Hayes, host of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show. The Mr. Warren Hayes Show is a weekly wrestling discussion program. I like to talk about WWE, New Japan, AEW, NWA, and more, talking about it seriously, but not too seriously, so it's always a good time. So join me live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. Or you can also find the Mr. Warren Hayes Show on your favorite podcast application. But if you do want to join us live every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes, and I hope to see you there soon.
I have a great deal for you with our friends over at Power Slam TV. If you head over there and give the promo code Ringside Rants, you get your first 30 days free. Yes, I said free. So if you head over to Power Slam TV and use the promo code Ringside Rants, right there where you put that promo code, you get 30 days free. So a big thanks to our great sponsors over at Power Slam TV.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is in the books. A big thank you goes out to Chris McLean from Turn a Pair Baseball Podcast for coming on and talking shop with me as far as baseball goes. However, if you are looking for another podcast to listen to that involves baseball, head over to wherever you get great podcasts and subscribe to Turn a Pair Baseball Podcast. But while you're there as well, make sure you subscribe to the Ringside Rant, wherever you get podcasts as well, so you can get in on the running for the badass giveaway number 2. If you follow me at @RingsideRant_RJ or the show's page at @Ringside_Rant on Twitter, you'll get all the great details on what you have to listen for in each and every episode. So go over, subscribe, follow on Twitter, go over and follow us on YouTube as well. You're going to get a lot of micro content there. Each and every day and or every other day, I'm going to try to get out and upload a little bit of each episode for you guys. But as always, make sure that you listen to the full interview over there wherever you get great podcasts. Head over to whatforapparel.com/ringside. I'm looking to get a new shirt out there as well. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, tell your coworkers, tell the mailman to subscribe to the Ringside Rant. Get in on the ground floor, because this show is going to be on fire in the year 2020. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation.